Your hometown news station is AM 1300 KGLO. It's time for our program from Corporate Farmer. We have Chad Hansen with us on our KGLO live line. Chad, good morning.
How you doing today, Tim?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Kind of doing my best to beat the heat like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy hot out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't look like any relief for a few days. So, yeah, I'm trying to lay a little low to myself and, you know, enjoy some air conditioning versus, I'm sure for most of our farmers out there listening, they're struggling just like everybody else with the hot temperatures and definitely not good for the corn and soybean crop, that's for sure.
No, it's pretty hot at this point in time. And, you know, we were able to get at least some moisture, I know, this last weekend. On Saturday morning early, we had some thunderstorms that kind of rumbled our way through and got some rain in. And we've had some scattered spots here and there, kind of north and south through the KGLO listening area. But we haven't had one of those kind of all-day rains, as I like to call them. And that wouldn't come in too bad a shape if we could pull one of those off.
No, even a two-day, I think, would be, you know, wonderful at this point in time. Yeah, just seems like things are kind of limping along. And, you know, honestly, at this point, maybe even a little late in the ball game for the corn crop. But for soybeans, definitely need some moisture to make that crop turn out. And I know it's just been a battle for sure.
Yeah,
you know, whether it's around here. You know, last week got the opportunity finally, first chance since the whole pandemic deal to go out and make some visits, and headed down through, you know, central Iowa and into Missouri and parts of Kansas and stuff, and just kind of see what I guess the crops are like, you know, at least south of here anyway.
So how are they finishing down that way? I would guess, you know, they're not too far from harvest time when you stop and think about it this late in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too far away, but honestly, the amazing thing is they're a lot greener than we are. I mean, some of that obviously definitely has to do with them getting consistent rains and stuff. And so, you know, their crops still... like I said, green and you know, coming back here just in a week's time, just amazing to me how much you're seeing the crops around here turn, and I'm sure that most of that's because of the moisture and stuff. So it may be a situation where, unfortunately or not, we may be in the field sooner than they are down there, depending on, you know, when their crops fully mature. And then, you know, obviously with the temperatures going forward, if they cool down or stay hot and drying the crops out down there, because I'm sure, you know, with prices and stuff, nobody's going to be in too big a hurry to want to get it out and incur drying costs if they don't have to.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, because through the years, you know, and just talking with you or with Denny through the years, you guys, when you were down in that Kansas, Missouri, there were a lot of years where they were really, really dry. And you'd go down and we'd be getting those reports back from you that, yeah, they were way ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, typically, you know, they will be, but I kid them, you know, that they're getting Iowa weather, you know, with the cooler temperatures, you know, throughout the summer for the most part. You know, it's been cooler down there too, and then you know, getting rains, a couple rains a week. You know, that's what we have, you know, become accustomed to up here. So you know, things look pretty good. I guess the eye-opening thing for me is that was the first opportunity, like I said, to kind of get through that Ames and Des Moines area and see, you know, the devastation and destruction there of the crops. And you know, it's just, you know, difficult to wrap your brain around it. You know, you can see it on pictures, and I think there's been plenty of those out there. But, you know, as you cruise on down the road, you just see how big of an area that's affected. And, you know, it's some tough times for the people there in central Iowa, and, you know, definitely for the for the farmers with the loss of their crops and buildings and equipment and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about derecho anymore, do they?
No. Yeah, I think they're tired of it. In fact, even a friend of mine stopped by Friday night, and you know, he's a lineman and had been down there working on getting electricity restored and stuff, and they'd spent a couple weeks on the road, and I think he was a little tired of that word too, you know, ready to get back home, sleep in his own bed, and not put in those 12 to 14 hour days. So yeah, it's been trying for a lot of people, you know, in Iowa, and you know, it's not over yet. There's still cleanup being done, but we feel for those people that have been hit by those high winds and storms and stuff here a little over 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, have you had some of your clients get hit pretty good, Chad?
Yeah, and you know, I've talked to a few. Some of them I've got to you know, try and get down and see here here in the next month, and so you know, it's a situation where there's been some that have been fortunate that have kind of missed some of the worst of it, but you know, there's a few that have been right in the center of all the destruction and stuff, and you know, instead of worrying about harvest, they're going to be worrying about cleanup, and that's definitely not something that they had planned on or look forward to, you know, here in the next few months as they try and pick the pieces back up again.
Yeah, I was seeing some stories and some pictures and so forth. Just the farm machinery underneath knocked down buildings and sheds and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of, you know, and seen some of the grain bins and the storage there that had just been, you know, destroyed. And like you said, heard of, you know, neighbors that have had their machine sheds blow over on top of equipment that was sitting outside ready to, you know, getting ready to go out for harvest and things. And so, yeah, it's definitely, you know, one of those things that nobody wants to deal with. But, yeah, harder when you see it, you know, people that are, you know, situations that are that close to us.
Oh, for sure. Well, we better give them something to smile about.
That's true.
Today,
yeah.
We've had some tough things. What good things can we tell them about from Corporate Farmer today?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if anybody's been on Facebook or anything here, have children, they're probably thinking a little bit about school. So I thought, you know, with that in mind, maybe it's the time to talk a little bit about taxes and school deductions. Everybody wants deductions, right? And so, you know, as you send your son or daughter or, you know, maybe even watch your grandson or granddaughter go back to school, you know, some things there on that front to think about. I guess, you know, first of all, for our educators, there's, you know, an education related expense deduction that you can take on your tax return. And so for our teachers and people there in the classroom, we always encourage them to keep some receipts or keep track of any expenses, you know, that they incur in their own classroom. And, you know, it only allows up to $250 of a deduction. But, you know, for most teachers, I'm sure they're going to tell you that they spend that rather quickly. So, you know, keep some receipts there and make sure that you turn those income tax times so that you can take advantage of that deduction. And then, you know, one other item I think we'll hit on quick is, you know, for the kids that are in elementary or middle school or high school, I think, you know, most people don't think about having any kind of, you know, deduction there, credit for those types of expenses. But for parents that have children there that are in grade schools, then there is an Iowa tax credit that allows for a deduction. And it is fairly broad in what it provides, any, like, books or, you know, clothing, not street clothes, but, like, things that would be, you know, suitable for, like, a concert or something specific, you know, any kind of costume that would be needed for a school activity, you know, driver's education. I've got one that's 14 there. Needs to be paid to the school, but, you know, that's another item that can be used towards that credit. any kind of materials for activities or anything like that, or in the obviously in the classroom, shops, supplies, you know, shoes for football, soccer, golf, any of those kind of cleats or track spikes or anything like that. You know, a tuition. I mean, most there's a lot of kids probably around here that go to Newman that they have tuition that they pay there, and so that would be something that they could use towards this. And then any uniforms, like a band uniform or you know, anything to do with any sports that you're playing, something specific there that you would need that's not provided by the school. And it's a 25% credit up to $1,000 of qualified expenses there. So, you know, for me, you know, some of mine are in college now, but when I had four of them in school, you know, that could add up to a decent amount, you know, if I did happen to have $1,000 per child, you know, at 25%, that would be $250 a kid, and at four kids, $1,000 credit, you know, is something well worth keeping track of. So, you know, I want to remind people that that's something that's out there and something they may not think of just because we always are so, I guess, fixated on the federal taxes and not maybe on some of those state-specific type credits that are out there.
Yeah, sometimes people just don't realize it's right there, do they?
No. You know, and then, you know, to kind of shift gears is I kind of sent mine off a week or two ago to college. You know, we have several credits and deductions that are available there with the you know, things like the American Opportunity Tax Credit and the Lifetime Learning Credit that are available depending on your situation. You know, with the American Opportunity Tax Credit for 4 years there of schooling, that's a credit up to $2,500, almost like a, you know, additional scholarship there for those families that have kids in college. And then the Lifetime Learning, obviously, as it sounds, goes beyond the 4 years and allows continuing you know, tax credits there for maybe schooling beyond 4 years, maybe a, you know, continued degree or a master's or something beyond that. And I think one thing to keep in mind that's always important, and I always kind of struggle with this with some clients, is that, you know, the person that takes that is whoever's claiming that student on their taxes. So, you know, for most parents, if they continue to claim their child as a dependent, they would then take advantage of that credit on their taxes. But, you know, if the child is on their own, maybe has gotten a job, maybe even took some time off before they went to college and has no longer been a dependent of their parents, then they would be the ones that would be able to take that education credit for themselves. And fortunately, the schools, you know, provide most of the information you need for those on a 1098-T. The thing that's important to remember there is you know, with fewer things being mailed out and more of it being online, you know, typically those are provided by the school through the kid's account there with the college, and so they're going to have to go into their account and probably look under a tab there that's tax-related, maybe you know, something specific that where they've got to pull that form down and print it off in order to give it to mom and dad so that they can take it into their tax person.
Well, and I think the bottom line to all of this and what you're talking about, Chad, is that we should also, all of us, just stop and take advantage of those things that are available for us to take advantage of.
And I think often it's just a situation where we aren't aware of them, or maybe we don't know what we need to keep or what we need to do. You know, I think the schools themselves do a pretty good job. I know myself, as I've went through that process with my kids, you know, the counselor there kind of went through and had something on student aid and preparation for college. You know, there's also a financial department at most of the schools that kind of help you through some of those things. But, you know, for a lot of parents, it's not something that you deal with, you know, frequently. And so, and sometimes it can be, you know, far between, you know, one kid going off and then waiting until the next one is, you know, college age and stuff like that. Or you deal with, like I said, situations where, maybe mom or dad, you know, decide to go back and get some additional education, maybe even right now because of the, you know, layoffs or unemployment that's going on, and you're forced to kind of retrain. Like I said, those lifetime learning credits that are available might be for somebody out there that's lost their job because of the pandemic and is choosing to kind of go back and re-educate themselves a new area of work or whatever, and might want to use that tax credit to their advantage to help pay for the high cost, because as you and I both know, college is not cheap, and so any way that you can find some help in paying for it, I think, is something everybody's attuned to.
Yeah, and that's something that you guys can give guidance into folks that you work with, Chad?
Yeah, a lot of it is talking to them. Like I said, laying out some of those options. You know, one thing, too, is parents or grandparents have kids and they decide that they want to start thinking about these things early. You know, one thing, that they may want to look at is a 529 plan, you know, where they can start investing some money for that son or daughter or a grandchild and, provide them with an opportunity to be able to have some funds there available when they do reach that age of choosing to go on to college or not. And so that's another thing that on the Iowa 529 plans there, where there is a tax deduction available for the person that contributes. So situation where grandma and grandpa might be able to take advantage of a little bit of a deduction on their Iowa return if they want to, you know, kind of help out their grandchildren and, you know, value that that education and want them to kind of be prepared, even though it might be 18 years down the line. You know, it's never too early to start, right?
Well, that's true. Very, very true. And it's, at this point in time, you may be thinking it's too late, but in any saving or dollar opportunities like that, start now, whenever now is.
Yeah, exactly. And with the markets, the way how crazy things have been, maybe it'll grow a lot faster than you ever planned. And so, I think those are just some things I thought as I see, kids' pictures on, like I said, Facebook this morning outside the house getting ready for school. And might be weird that those are the thoughts that pop into my mind. But as somebody in the tax business, those are the types of things that I guess I kind of want to get out to the listeners and allow them to think about and maybe act on as it's in their mind and kind of fresh and they can start to, like you said, those kids that are off to kindergarten or whatever now that are going to want the opportunities to go to college down the road.
Oh, for sure. It is kind of fun to see all those pictures, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're pretty cute, and I know, I saw a few where they had their kindergarten picture, and maybe they're a senior now, and they've got that next to it, and, I know it was something that my wife always took the picture out in front of the tree, in front of our house every year, and so you could kind of compare over the years how much the kids have grown and how times have changed, and so, yeah, they're always entertaining, and I think most of us get a little kick out of seeing those, and I guess it's just a sign that it's that time of the year, and, like I said, for farmers, that harvest is right around the corner, I think, is something that always pops into my head as I see kids going back to school and kind of the progression of the seasons.
Oh, for sure. Stay safe out there with kids around school zones and school buses, and we've got to... we'll start to see more and more farm machinery, too. It's a time of year for us all to kind of take a big, deep breath and pay a lot of attention when we're out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's always important. Give those buses plenty of space. And like you said, the big farm equipment, as it gets out there, we want to be safe. I think that's first and foremost for all of us. And, have fun. I mean, there's been enough challenges definitely in 2020, and I think with school getting back, I know my kids were excited. Some sports activities starting out this week for a lot of area schools. I think that's exciting as well, and just gives us something to look forward to finally, right? More than anything, I think, man, all the stuff that's been taken away from us, it's nice to have something to start to look forward to.
Chad, if somebody's interested in visiting with you at Corporate Farmer, how do they do that?
Yeah, easiest thing, just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.